Wow. Everything's going to fall down. The end times are coming. We're looking for signs. And we keep looking for them, wondering what's going to happen and when it's going to happen. We've had an election that makes us all wonder, either rejoice in what happened or wonder how it got that way and how it happened. And down and thinking what's going to happen next. It's this idea of living in not knowing and the feeling like we haven't got control anymore. It's this time of living and going out each day and wondering what's next. We see the TV set, we see riots going on, we see the TV set, we see war going on. We see the TV set, we find people talking against each other. Where's the positiveness that needs to be in action? And I guess because we are Christians, one of the things that we see is the fact that we are not listened to very much. And maybe that's because we don't speak very much. Where I work, I told you at one time, I'm not allowed to use the word Jesus Christ unless the patient allows me to or asks for it. I'm not allowed to wear religious symbols at all. I can't wear my collar. I can't wear a cross. I can't wear anything that says I am a Christian. The only way they know I am a Christian is by when I touch them in a different way than they're being touched by someone else. The only way they know that I'm a Christian is when they ask me, they say, what faith are you? Then I can talk. I can't try to evangelize, but I can talk about what my faith means to me because they ask. So many of the people that I've worked with, the patients, ask the question, well, what about heaven? Do you think it's real? And I smile and I say, I rejoice. Yes, I believe it's real. I believe it's more real than anything down here. That the realness of it is that we're not going to suffer in heaven. I'll be able to run. I might even be able to go back to rodeo. And I don't know how Priscilla would feel like about that. But, you know, whatever we can think the best of that heaven has and is nothing compared to what it is. And I can witness to them about that. I can witness to them about the fact that when the pain's over, that there's more, that we don't die. And that's the witness the world needs to hear. Oh, we see signs, the end times are coming. Well, if they are, fine. Let them come. As Christians, we should say, let them come. It's not going to hurt us. And it won't hurt you either if you will follow Jesus Christ. Oh, we may be thrown in prison. We'll be persecuted. Certainly we've been doing that for years. We know how to do that. But to be able to walk up to the people that are going to throw us into prison and things and smile at them and say, don't worry. I'll be okay. I don't know about you. But I'll be okay. We will be okay because Jesus Christ is with us. He's in us. We are part of Jesus Christ. The scriptures tell us that we are adopted children of God, adopted in Jesus Christ, and that the Spirit comes upon us, and that Spirit is in us and guides us and helps us. Now, somebody said that there was a Buddhist monk that went to Buddha and said to Buddha, why do things happen the way they do? How can I stop them? But why is life the way it is? And Buddha said, well,
it's like a man
who had an arrow shot into his back, poison arrow, and they wanted to remove it to fit and make him well. And the man said, you can't remove it until you tell me three things. First of all, was the man black or white? The second thing is how deep it is and what kind of poison it is. And the third thing is something else, and I can't remember what it was, but because of all those questions that they couldn't answer, he didn't want the arrow taken out. We're kind of like that. We'd like God to answer us. Okay, God, When's it going to happen? What's it going to look like? Where's it going to take place? How am I going to be involved? And how are you going to be able to hide me away so that I'm protected? But Jesus said, you're not going to be protected. The protection is here. You are followers of Jesus Christ. If you follow me and you follow me and speak the words that I speak and you do the things that I ask you to do, then people will see you working, me working in you, and you will be persecuted. You will be hurt. You'll be thrown in prison. All these things. That's just an awful scripture. But not a hair on your head will be hurt. Now that seems a little bit weird. They're gonna beat me up. They're gonna throw me in prison. I'm probably gonna be hungry. Probably gonna be in a dungeon somewhere, and not a hair on my head. Well, it won't be, because we're alive in Jesus Christ, and there is no death. That's the only way I can read it. Is that in through Jesus Christ that all the things that happen in the world, all these signs that we see, and we want to grab them and say this is the end times. It's going to happen day after tomorrow, and that's the way it is. All those things don't matter. What matters is that we are a part of Christ's family, and being a part of Christ's family and God, that we are saved. And that they may hurt our bodies, but they will be raised, our spirit will go on. The promise is there. I don't know. Maybe he's really saying to us, as Christians, you're going to grow old. I can feel it. And I know everybody said, oh, you're just a young little guy. But I can feel it. Maybe he's saying you're going to have times that everything just goes bad. And I've had those times. Maybe he's saying that when they go bad, the first place to look is to me, to Jesus Christ. And when they go bad, be careful. Because there are going to be people who are going to tell you that they have the answer. That they have the knowledge of the end times. That they have the knowledge of why things happen. And he says, remember that I am the Savior. Remember that if they claim to be a prophet and a Messiah, they are not. Because there's only one. It's Jesus Christ. Remember that I'm the one who raises you up through the scriptures, through prayer, through community like we have here that pray for us, and we pray for them. I'm the one that raises you up and gives you life. Hey, I don't know. I almost want to laugh. I really do. Okay, I'll go for that. And somebody says to me, well, what do you mean you'll go for that? The Holy Spirit being upon us says to us, we're strong enough. And that when we have those problems, that it is another type of spirit that is looking to move us away from Jesus Christ. It's 1980. I was sitting out on the I don't know if I shared this story or not. It doesn't matter. I was sitting out, and we were living in Lakewood, Colorado. I was working for a company as a recruiter, and I was sitting out on the driveway. Kids were playing in the grass. And my wife was sitting there, and the lady that owned the duplex that we lived in was sitting there. And all of a sudden, a police car came up the street, came around the corner, and went back down the street. Next thing we knew, the police car came back, and she parked right in front of the house. Another police car came up and parked across the street. And jokingly saying, I said, yeah, I didn't do it. And she said, are you Tony Alonso? I said, yes, I am. She said, you're under arrest. Just like that. She handcuffed me right there in front of my kids. I had to have her empty my pockets so that my wife could have the keys to the car. And she did take me to jail. She took me to Lakewood first, because they didn't have reciprocity, they sent me to Jefferson County Jail. I was going from jail to jail while they were trying to get things done. My wife had called the attorney. The attorney's trying to find me and finally finds me. And he says, "What's going on? What'd you do?" I said, "I didn't do anything. I don't know what it is." And finally, it cost us $500 to bail me out. And that's 10% of what the bail bond, or the bail was, anyway. That may have been minimum, I don't know. And it took almost 4 weeks for us to find out what I was charged with. We knew that I was charged with a felony. And I thought, I didn't do a felony. I know I didn't do one of those. And it took almost a full year of going to court and back and trying to get the trial set, trying to get all their witnesses in. And once we found out what it was, I supposedly had written a check on an account that wasn't mine at a bank in Boulder, Colorado. And I'd written a check and cashed it, and I opened an account, and then drew the money out of the account, left the bank, and so here I was with check writing fraud, all this stuff. I was 5 years in jail is what I was looking at, minimum. I thought, I'm never going to jail. But after we started looking through everything, it happened in the sporting goods store we had, and we started going through things. We went through all of the fishing licenses for that day. And at the exact time I was supposedly writing the check, the lieutenant from the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office, I was filling out a fishing license form for him, and he signed it. So I could account for my time. I called my attorney, I said, "Account for my time." And I called him up there, and he said, we can prove that he wasn't there. And they said, "We don't care, we're going to trial anyway." So, anyway, about $8,000 later, they dropped the charge for insufficient evidence. I thought, insufficient evidence, no apology, nothing. Just drop the charges. During that time, we were really going through a turmoil in our life. I was looking for another job when this happened, and I couldn't even do that because of the fact that we didn't know what was going on. It was a low point. It was about a year before that, and I decided that I felt the call of ministry, and we were working towards that. So my neighbor, who was a good Christian, came out and she said, "Tony, Satan will do everything he can to keep you from following Jesus Christ. He will do everything he can to make you turn away." She said, "I've been praying for you. My church is praying for you. I've got all these people praying for you. He will do anything he can to make you turn away." I was sitting there saying, "It's the end times because I'm going to prison." And I kept, you know, it was scary. My kids saw me taken away. They were crying. It took almost 24 hours to get me back home. And I'm sitting there going, "What did I? I didn't do anything." And I didn't. But Satan will do anything Satan can to turn you away from Jesus. That includes the news media that we see with people riding the streets that want us to turn away from Jesus. I really believe that. They want us to turn away from the gift that we have been given in this country and go into anarchy. They want us to say, they don't want us to continue to pray for our country or who is elected. And everything's in stone now. It's going to be the way it is. They don't want us to look at it from a positive point of view, that we're still free to come here and worship, that we're still free to let the Holy Spirit lead us in the direction we should go. We're still free to honor our veterans. We're still free to decide where we're going to live. We're still free because we've been given that gift of freedom, and I believe it was the gift so that we would know Jesus Christ. A man from Europe came over in the, it was during the days of coal engines on the track trains. And he went from the East Coast all the way to the West Coast, and he stopped at every town. And every town he stopped at, he noticed one thing. He because when he got to the West Coast, he said, the most impressive thing I saw about America was every town we came in to, I could see a church steeple. Obviously, America is Christian. Obviously, and, you know, he didn't see the synagogues and things like that that were around either, but he was a Christian. He's saying America is Christian. America loves God. And God loves America enough to give us what we have. So the end times, we're going to have the ups and downs. Fine. Don't let it scare us. Continue to pray. Continue to be Christians. Continue to reach out to people. Let the Spirit lead us. Continue to open our hearts and our minds. Continue to use just good common sense. But most of all, don't let them split us up. Not because of parties, not because of anything. We are here because the Spirit has led us here. We are here because Jesus Christ wants us here. We are here because of our love for Him. I don't know. End times? I think, sure, we're living in the end times. There have always been an end time. Sometimes it's going to end. Do I look for the all of those things and say, oh, look here, I got all of the pins and the piece of paper, and we've only got one more thing to happen before it's going to happen? He's going to come when He comes. And we're going to be there to meet Him. Because through His love and His grace, we have been redeemed. Through His love and His grace, we have received the gift of, everybody, life. The living Christ. Don't let it worry you. Let not your hearts be troubled. God is in control. The evil one will be defeated. Pray with me. Oh, gracious and loving God, we praise Your name. We give thanks that through Jesus Christ that we can live through these things spiritually as well as personally. We give thanks for that we can come to You when problems hit. And Lord, we pray, give thanks when You answer our prayers. We give thanks that You even listen to me. Lord, we know that You are in control, and we will follow Your Son, Jesus Christ, and we will not turn away. We come to You in Jesus.